Doing well, dog.
And welcome to Please Excuse My Tone. We're back, episode 10. The numbers keep on going up, and we're still here. Now, as usual, I'm one of your three hosts, Brandon Lessie. Not as usual is starting to my right now, since these two want to play musical chairs today. To my right, as usual for the show, is
Justin DeFoo.
And to his right
is Akeem Thompson.
One name today?
One name.
Y'all gonna play musical chairs next week or just this week?
We might,
yeah.
It's annoying, man.
It's a 10 episodes. It's an anniversary, yo. 10 episodes, man.
I feel you, but it's really effing up the way I have to introduce the show, man. I'm getting confused over here, yo. Three rights make a wrong. Three rights make a left. Something. Michael Smith, help me, bro.
Three rights make a left. Three rights make a
help
left.
Help me, bro. What was the saying on Numbers Never Lie? I have no idea. You went to the six and left me dry, bro. Pause. Anyway.
So you're a rapper now?
I mean, I like to go by 49 pennies every now and again.
49 pennies?
It's okay to laugh. It's okay. It's my stage name. It's okay. Let me rock.
I forgot you were a 50 fan. I forgot.
All day out here, man. All day. Listen. While I'm not trying to pretend like I know about sports, I like to go on a little rapping thing, you know?
Okay. I respect it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have 49 pennies.
All right.
That's your new AKA. That's your new AKA for sure.
I'm not two names out here. Nah. I go by one name on this podcast, brother. All right. All right, let's jump right into it, man. Our last week of talking about this topic and always going number one, it'll be March Madness, man. What happened? You need some water, bro?
I do.
Yo, listen. You over here playing young boy, going out 2-3 nights in a row.
All right, let's not put our personal business on the podcast. It's not for that. This is not for that.
Let me just ask you one question. You gonna take off that party wristlet?
It was from last night.
Oh my god, this boy's life is different. Let's get into March Madness, man. Oh my god. Okay, so let me give credit to where credit is due, and Mr. Justin DeFoo correctly picking the final two teams for tomorrow's championship game. So, good job, brother. Good job. You had Gonzaga, and you had North Carolina. Listen, credit to you for picking Gonzaga. You too, Akeem, because I don't trust these guys. And this is their year. Like Villanova's year was last year, this is their year. Because next year, I'm not picking them to come out of the round of 32. They're not making it there, all right? But this might be their year, but it's not. There's been one team that I've constantly been picking to make it to the Final Four, to make it to the championship. And in the championship, I had them losing, but I had them there. And I'm going to stick with them. That's North Carolina. That's my pick to win the game. I think they got it. Even though they really tried to hand-deliver like
they
UPS
did.
The game yesterday
my
to Oregon.
Was this close to being true.
Six free throws? Oh, come on, guys. Come on, man. But let me just give a shout-out to Oregon for playing a great game and not giving up. You had it there. I wish you guys could have took it. I'm not going to say I wish you did because my prediction would have been wrong. And let me give a big shout-out to the Gamecocks, South Carolina men's team, and the women's team. We'll get to that in a sec because shout-out to them too, man.
Yep.
You know, what we didn't talk about last week is amazing that they had men's and women's team both in the Final Four. I mean, that's impressive for the Gamecocks, man. I mean, I wouldn't go to school there, but I'm impressed.
It's not a bad school.
Okay, all right. You speak like you went there before.
I mean, I ran against them.
Okay. Did you win?
Nah.
So you're telling everybody you want to be, you know, you're telling everybody you're a track star, huh?
I was.
In the past.
It's in the past.
It is in the past.
Now he's a young old man trying to play young boy out
you're
here,
right,
man.
You're right. I can't do it no more.
All right, but North Carolina, that's my pick. Jake.
My pick, Gonzaga. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, man.
Is year two, if Gonzaga lose it, is simply because North Carolina has been here before, back to back, the experience.
And if they lose it, it's because they're perennial chokers like Villanova, right?
Fair enough. But I'll pick the Zags. They're deep, 1-5, just like North Carolina.
1-5 is deep, brother.
1-5.
1-5 is deep. That's just a team on the court. 1-8, 1-10 is a little deep. I mean,
fair enough.
Five is just a nice starting lineup.
You know what? You're right.
It's just a nice starting lineup. But
yeah, they're deep in terms of point guard through center.
You're right.
And Gonzaga Big Boys is a little bit bigger than the North Carolina Big Boys. So I'm gonna pick the Zags this year for the championship. If they let me down, it is what it is. I'm not mad if North Carolina win it. They kind of deserve it, seeing that they got it back to back.
Stop riding the fence. Gonzaga.
So let me get this right. You pick Gonzaga, Justin, and you pick North Carolina, Brandon?
Yes, I did.
So I'm the tiebreaker.
you be whatever you want to be, man. Yeah. You can say it's going to end in a tie if you win.
So I don't really got to pick nobody, huh?
I mean, you do because
I'm not. Because I really have no interest in this game. I'm lying. I have interest in the game because it's a national championship.
I mean,
but I don't care who wins.
You know our rule. If you have a bad pick from last week, we got to dig into you. So you have to put a pick out
so,
there.
So I'm going to go this way. I'm going to pick North Carolina.
Don't point at me and say you're going to go this way like we on camera.
You're right. I'm going to pick North Carolina. I really did not want them to get to the finals, but.
Why? What's your hatred against North Carolina?
I don't have any hatred against
North Carolina. You just didn't want them to win. You just wanted your prediction to be correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I wanted the Wildcats to be there.
And I thought when South Carolina took that lead in that game, I'm like, I'm about to be correct because somebody didn't pick these guys. But hey,
I wanted the Wildcats to get there, but it's okay. But I'm gonna go for North Carolina. I really think they have a good chance of winning. I think their team is better than Gonzaga. I had faith in Gonzaga up until now, and I always thought they were gonna make it to the finals and then lose. So I'm gonna stick with that.
Perennial chokers, all right? Listen. We all supposed to be watching the game together tomorrow. So, Justin, since you have the Zags, you want to put drinks on the line, maybe?
Put a little wager?
I'll do that.
A little TGI Fridays Unlimited Appetizers?
Fair enough. That's fair.
Okay. Hey.
All right. Okay. That's fair. Okay.
Apps on Justin.
Walk with your wallet tomorrow, brother.
And now we're going to switch it to the women's side and the shocker that broke the internet. UConn women's basketball team, after 111 games in a row of winning, they lost in the Final Four. I think it's a complete surprise. I had them winning the whole thing.
Listen, it's a good thing I'm not a betting man.
Boy,
with money, I mean,
because
big time betting.
I would have put a major bet.
I would have
on UConn, and
it,
I would have lost.
It would have been like I had
it.
Another student loan, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Lost a lot of
for
money.
Sure.
Because I didn't see it happening. This, I'll say, I didn't see it happening that game. I had them going to the championship, and I had them losing to South Carolina Gamecocks.
Really?
I did.
I had them beating South Carolina.
I did. I had them there, and I had South Carolina win the whole thing, even though I didn't fill out a women's bracket, because, I mean, why? It's just chalk.
I did.
It's chalk. So I didn't fill one out. But
is it? Because it's not. It's not. Clearly not.
I'm sorry. Who played today? I won in a two seed?
How is it chalk? Did you have UConn winning?
No. I had UConn winning the game before and making it to the finals. But it's usually,
and losing to South Carolina.
It's usually chalk. And even though they didn't make it, it's still somewhat chalk because I won a one seat chalk. And a
but
two
guess
seat
what?
Play each other.
That's why they play the game.
Whatever. I'm sure
the 12 seed made it to the Elite Eight.
Wait, I'm sure before to respond to Akeem's comment. I'm sure the 111 teams that played UConn were like, that's why we played the game.
I'm sure it wasn't 111 teams.
Whatever. 111 games passed. You're right. It wasn't 111 teams. But you know what? Even the teams that played them more than once went in there thinking, we're going to do it. And only one team was
did
able
to. They? Or did they say, oh, it's big bad UConn?
No, they didn't. Because let me.
Hold on. Out of 111 games, you're saying everybody went in there thought they was going to win.
Can I finish? Because Mississippi State, the team that beat UConn and ruined their winning streak, they lost to UConn last year in the Sweet 16. 98 to a whopping 38. Got the wheels blown off. They came in this year and said, we can do it, and they won it overtime, 66-64. So, listen, I'm sure there are some teams that went in there like, we're just here to be on TV. But I'm sure there's some other teams that thought, maybe we could get this.
I'm not doubting that.
I'm not taking...
You just said out of 111 games, they were all like, we can get this. And I doubt that was the case. Because, you know, little...
Go ahead.
Wichita State or whatever school is called.
Listen.
Or Wichita State.
Stop taking dumps on these small mid-major conferences.
I went to a small college. I'm sure if UConn played Coppin State, Coppin wasn't going in there talking about we're going to beat big bad UConn.
Now, here's the thing. I'm not taking away the win from Mississippi. And UConn is a dominant...
Mississippi State. Call them out correct, brother.
Mississippi State. It's a good win, but let's be real. The reason they got punched 98-38 last year, because that UConn team had juniors and seniors. This team is freshmen and sophomores. For me,
I agree, but they the streak was still rolling with these girls,
and people didn't predict them to win so many games and be undefeated.
Let's agree that they're probably not as good as the team that they were last year, but let's not act like they weren't
number
predicted,
one seed.
Predicted to win everything this year. Not by me, but by others.
But I did put out and say that, you know, I feel like women's basketball, yes, despite UConn, that it is getting better. And I did see UConn losing. I put that out there, like UConn could lose.
I mean, we debated this before, and I disagree. I thought there really wasn't any parity in women's basketball, and I still think there isn't, because we're shocked by this UConn loss. Everybody had UConn winning the whole thing, and next year they'll be on to another streak. Trust. All right?
But absolutely.
Let's congratulate the Gamecocks, the female South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball team, because they beat Mississippi State tonight, and they won it, man.
The national champions.
I think that's their first title.
They got first title ever.
So congrats.
Shout out to Dawn Staley.
Okay.
The coach.
I feel you.
The Olympic coach now.
We out here just giving shout outs.
Yes, because Dawn Staley is the truth.
All right.
Well. She was a great WNBA player, and now she a great coach.
All right.
She's doing her thing out here. And she's a black woman. Shout out to you, Dawn.
All right. Akeem, changing topics.
Dawn, Akeem Thompson, your biggest fan.
Word. Shout out.
He's at Rico Kowalski. If you need to email him, hit him on Instagram. There you go, man.
Thanks.
Right. All right, folks.
Anybody else that want to do it, too? Y'all just
Oh, my. Another feminist man. Yeah. Like feminist Dan. Yeah. Yo, real quick. Yo, Daniel, Eli, when y'all coming back, man? Kentucky and Villanova championship winners.
They're coming back soon. Trust me.
Good, because
Eli hit me up as soon as Kentucky lost. Damn, my bracket's done.
All right. Jay, changing topics. Raiders move to Las Vegas. How you guys feel about it? This, past Monday, owners approved Raiders to move to Las Vegas. 31 owners to 1, and that one owner that disagreed and didn't think that they should move. Steven Ross, Miami Dolphins owner. How do you feel about it, guys?
You want to go first?
I'll take. I think it's always sad when a fan base loses their team. I think fans really, especially if it's from where you're born, the team is from where you're born, where you live, you really take, you have heart and pride in that team if you're a fan of them, and it sucks. And, you know, I've preached this in the NBA. It sucked when the Seattle Supersonics moved to OKC, and I've been one of the main people saying that they need to bring a team back to put the Seattle Supersonics back in Seattle, man, because I miss that team. They were a historic team over there for the NBA. And I think the same thing goes here. And the thing with the Raiders is they like to move every, 30 years? And you already disappointed this fan base when you moved to L.A., and you came back, made the fan base happy, and now you're moving again to Vegas. And the thing with Vegas is I'm a little bit surprised, because major league teams don't have a team in Vegas because they're scared of the connection to the gambling and try to stay away from that. The NFL, big and bad, sold their soul, said we don't care, go in there. I understand the need for Oakland. Raiders have a new stadium. They're sharing a stadium with the Oakland A's. The 50-yard line has a dirt diamond in the middle of it. It's ridiculous. I understand that, and I understand that the city didn't want to pay for the stadium. And I rightfully agree with that, because why should taxpayer money pay for the stadium? You guys are billionaire owners. Pay for your own stadium, man. But I also understand the need to get a new stadium, and I guess I understand the move, but I don't agree with it. That's really all I have to say on the matter.
I mean, I don't agree with the move either. I think they should have stayed in Oakland. I think it's sad that Oakland's government and politicians can't give them a new stadium. That whole area is going down the drain. Like,
yeah, but the
Warriors are leaving.
Yeah, I was about to say they're going to San Francisco. But the thing about it is, 75. You know, they wanted to pay for 75% of that stadium. That's over $750 million to that community for the taxpayers. I mean, why? These are multi-billionaire owners.
But it also takes a lot to make a stadium.
No, I understand that. But you're a multi-billionaire owner. You want the fans to pay for 75% of them, then you want to charge them crazy ticket prices to come and watch the team in the stadium they helped build 3/4 of it? A little ridiculous.
It is a little ridiculous, but at the same time, they want them there, right? If they really wanted them there, they would have put up that money.
You mentioned the politicians, and you said it's a shame they couldn't work on a deal. I'm going to back the politicians on this and say that
They're losing everything from that area, and you're going to agree with them?
I am, because they're losing everything in that area, but that area is not as affluent as other areas, and to demand that the taxpayers pay 3/4 of the price for that stadium, I think is just too high.
Here's where I disagree with you guys. Honestly, I don't mind the move. It puts money, obviously, the owners, all 32 owners get some profit from this, as well as their other Raiders fans all over the world. It's not just
But the Oakland. The real Raiders fans are in Oakland.
I understand this, but here's my thing. And I agree with Akeem. To me, it is the politician's fault. You know, you could pass all these other, you know, laws. But
so
and,
you think it's right to have the taxpayers pay 75% of that stadium? If the owners really wanted to meet in the middle with the politicians, I think 50-50 split, I could see that. 60-40, but...
Let's be honest.
Can I ask you a question?
Go.
What stadium has ever been built that taxpayers didn't pay for?
I understand that. I understand that. But it didn't look like Raiders ownership really wanted to work with the politicians of Oakland in order to keep the team there. They looked like they really had one foot out the door already.
Okay, but I don't even think the politicians even wanted to do 50%, to be honest with you.
We don't know, because I know that Oakland ownership wasn't looking to do 50% at all. I don't even know if that was an offer. But, you know, it just shows that it just sucks for the fans, because the fans is what makes this team. The fans is what gets the team their money. The fans is what makes money for the owners. And now you have two NFL teams, one that moved this year in the Chargers from San Diego to L.A., and it sucks for San Diego, because San Diego doesn't. Mm-hmm. All they have right now is the Padres. One. At least they have a team, though, but, I mean, just one team. And they go to L.A., and now you have the Raiders leaving in 2-3 years to go to Las Vegas. It sucks, man.
Well, I'm sorry, you Oakland fans. You get the team for 2 more years. They're going to leave in 2019.
Which sucks completely.
I think so. But let's not forget the Rams, too.
Yeah.
They moved to now L.A. has two teams. For what? Why?
Yeah, nobody's really going to go to those games in L.A.
It's a
Lakers town. The Clippers are in second, clearly. But no one's going to go to those games.
I disagree.
The Rams suck.
People go to Chargers game. The Chargers are two.
The Chargers are okay.
They're a team. They just look okay because they play in probably the hardest division in the NFL.
Agreed.
They're okay.
And they still look okay.
They're okay.
They look better than okay. All right, listen. Let's move. This wasn't even supposed to be this long of a topic, man. All right, another short topic, but we want to touch on it, is opening day in the MLB, which was today, correct?
No, Monday. Tomorrow, the 3rd.
Tomorrow?
Oh, April 3rd.
Is it? No, I'm pretty sure there's some games today.
Yeah.
I think there's some games today. Because
I know Tanaka got lit up today.
He sure did.
Oh, my God.
My
Yankees.
It's tough on the Yankees.
Oh, my gosh. Well, opening day in Major League Baseball, so let's just go straight to World Series predictions. And we'll probably hit on some more major events when some more major events happen in MLB. But let's go to predictions. Should I go first?
Sure.
All right. I'm going to go with Chicago Cubs. I'm not going to give it a winner of the World Series, but I'll tell you who's going to be in there.
Wow, that's whack.
Okay.
Give you a winner.
I'll give you a prediction for you since it's whack. All right. Okay, Rico.
See how you put the pressure on them?
Oh, my gosh. All right. So I'm going to go with the Chicago Cubs out of the NL, and out of the AL, I'm going to go, as crazy as this is to sound, because I'm a Yankees fan.
You better not disrespect the Yankees.
Listen, I am a sports analyst first.
Yankees fan second?
Fan second. Especially a Knicks fan. I couldn't go repeat of Cubs and Indians again. So I'm going to go with the Red Sox, who have been making moves all offseason, last offseason, this offseason. David Price looks like he's going to be okay. Mm. And I'm going to go with them to do and make it to the World Series. And I'm going to go with the Cubs
back-to-back.
After not winning one in over 100 years, over a century, they're going to go back-to-back over there, man.
That's big talk.
That is big talk. It says you want a prediction. I got you, bro.
You know what? I can't disagree with my man Brandon here. I hate this team with a passion. All right? I definitely think the Boston Red Sox made some really amazing moves this year.
Oh, man.
This offseason, they're looking amazing. Preseason was actually not bad. And on the other side, can't forget, I got to rock with the Cardinals, man.
That's not a bad pick.
I thought they did great in terms of picking up some more pitchers.
Does anyone have enough cojones to pick the New York Mets?
I'm so glad you said that, Brandon, because that's who I'm picking to come out the NL.
Their pitching is...
The National League winner is going to be the New York Mets.
As a Yankee fan, the amazing Mets.
I'm a Yankee fan, too.
I can't pick the Mets. I'm sorry.
I'm a Yankees fan, too.
No, I'll be honest with you.
But I'm a New Yorker, also.
I picked Mets over the Boston, but...
They're in two different leagues, so you can't pick them up.
I'm just simply saying in terms of, like, who would I rather prefer to win?
Who's your AL team, then?
My AL team, I'm going to say Boston.
Okay.
It's going to be a repeat of what was that, the 86 World Series, where the Mets won?
Let's hope. I mean, Buckner's not playing on first base this year. But we'll see.
But also a team to look at, the LA Dodgers. Don't sleep on them.
I always have faith in them, and they always let me down.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Kershaw does not pitch.
I thought you were going to mention the Nationals.
Yeah. No, their team not to sleep on either. They have a really good pitching staff. All right. That boy Bryce Harper is a problem.
And it looks like he's back to form this year. Mm-hmm. How it looked in preseason, I went ahead and picked my winner. I didn't anyone else pick winners.
I said the Mets are going to take it over Boston.
That's my fault. I'm just not listening to you. That's my bad.
Okay.
Justin?
Disrespectful.
I'll say Cardinals. Cardinals.
Okay. All right. Well, should make for an interesting 162 or 161 now because somebody played today.
It's a long season. It's a long season ahead of us.
Yeah.
We're going to switch back to basketball, though. It's a hot topic. It's been a hot topic a whole long time. This whole year. The MVP race. There's only a few people that's really in it. But we're going to talk about it. My MVP is number 0 from the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Mr. Rage.
Mr. Russell Westbrook. Listen, the man got 40 triple-doubles.
Talk about it.
One away from tying that record with the big O.
Talk about it.
Averaging a triple-double.
Two away from breaking it. You want me to... Justin's face. So I'm going to just go
sound
second.
Sound like he disagreeing like with us.
Disagree, so let me just go second.
Do your thing.
You know, Mr. Russell Westbrook, leading the league in points, 31.8 assists. I'm sorry, 31.8 points a game.
Let's say 32.
No. We giving exact stats on this podcast, brother. Rebounds per game, 10.6. Assists per game, 10.4. Third in the league behind James Harden and John Wall. Okay. Now listen, as Akeem mentioned previously, before I came on to the mic, 40 triple doubles as of today. During the last 5 triple doubles, he has a game where he's went perfect from the field and perfect from the free throw line. Perfect triple double.
Talk about
it. And he has the most points scored in the triple double with 57.
Tell him.
Also leading his team back down four.
They was down 21 at 1 point.
21. Okay, 21. But I think in the fourth quarter they scored 14 straight to beat the Mavs game. So let's. I mean, hey, listen.
Talk about it.
This guy is doing the dude. I know that he does not have the normal team record that wins MVP. But as I mentioned before, Ralph Sampson won, I believe, in 85 with the Houston Rockets, and their team was in sixth position. And the Thunder have a better record than their team had that year.
And he won the playoffs.
But this guy, I mean, listen, we see the record with the record. They have a winning record when he has a triple-double, and when he doesn't have a triple-double, they have a losing record. So let's not act like he's not doing the dude. James Harden, listen, you have an amazing year, but I have to take into account that you are in the stats hype machine of the Mike D'Antoni offense. I've got to take that into account. I'll leave it there. Drop the mic, or in this case,
drop it.
My highlighter. Go ahead, Justin.
Obviously, I disagree with these two.
Oh, my God. And main reason is going to be Russell Westbrook doesn't have the record. He doesn't have a good enough record. Go ahead.
As much as I can say, I'm impressed with the 40 triple doubles.
I mean, which you is had, teammates. Hold on. You had no other thing than to say that. Because if you had said that, we'd have blew you out the water.
Well, he said it like it was so easy to get 40 triple doubles.
No. It's not like to get 40 triple doubles, but it is pretty easy to get 40 triple doubles when your team allows you to grab as many boards as you like.
Stop it.
When you watch it clear it out on the free throw line for him to get rebounds actually 4 extra rebounds.
So Russell Westbrook's not the best rebounding guard in the league before you even last year. He wasn't doing that.
Obviously he's the best rebounding guard. He's a 2 guard. What do you expect? All right.
Man, 6'4" play to 1, all right?
All right. Now
good point guard.
Name a two guard that have the average 10 assists. Name a two guard. I'm here. I'll wait.
The average 10 assists?
Yeah, I'll wait.
Not too many.
Okay, thank you. Continue.
Not too many. None. What do you mean?
So, obviously, my MVP is James Harden. All right? He clearly deserves it. Brandon wants to talk about D'Antoni hype up stat man, but come on. Westbrook has...
Is it not true that D'Antoni's offense raises your stats to incredible heights? Is that not true? Answer the question, yes or no.
No. Is Steve Nash an MVP without Mike D'Antoni?
Bro, don't say my question. You didn't word it right. You didn't word it right. Does Steve Nash have an MVP, have MVPs without Mike D'Antoni as his coach?
I can't play that prediction game. I can't play that. Here's my thing.
So
D'Antoni coached the Knicks. Did they hype up any stats there? No. He coached the Lakers. Did any stats was hype up? Was Kobe killing? No. Okay. Was Dwight Howard killing?
Whoa. Kobe was killing. He's averaging 27 points, 5, 6 rebounds.
It wasn't because of D'Antoni's system,
yeah, it's because of Kobe. Because exactly. He's the man. D'Antoni, who is a coach that I don't respect, he has brought his name back to relevancy this year with the Houston Rockets. But let's not act like D'Antoni is the great coach. He's offensive-minded coach. He looks good on the USA team as a center coach. That's great. But he goes to the Knicks, and he can't find a way to implement Carmelo and Amari Stoudemire on the team together. They have a championship squad there, and he can't even get them into the playoffs? Ridiculous. He goes over to the Lakers. You can't implement Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard with Kobe Bryant?
You put Dwight Howard on the
floor. But clearly your offense, if he's an offensive guru and it hypes up stats, their stats should have been...
No.
What was the question?
No.
Does D'Antoni's system... hype up
with the correct person.
Correction.
With the correct person. All right, then. Does James Harden and the Rockets have the correct person on right now? Yes or no? You're shaking your head. What? We're not on camera. Not yes or no? Not necessarily. He doesn't have it when he has a team that just broke the most made threes in the NBA ever. He doesn't have the right team. That sounds like the right team to me because he sounds like he's a 3-guy, 8-second offense. He likes to shoot threes. They just broke the record. They broke Golden State's record.
It's
how many games to go, and you're telling me he doesn't have the right team?
This is very interesting because, you know, clearly he had All-Stars in Dwight Howard. Who is Capella?
Listen, D'Antoni cannot win on offense if he doesn't have a big man that looks like Amari Stoudemire. And what could Amari Stoudemire do? He had a little post play. He could definitely shoot. He's great in the pick and roll. He could pick and pop and pick and roll. Dwight Howard was not that player. We've been talking about Dwight Howard for years since he came in the league. Offensively, his game leaves a lot to be desired. It's left a lot to be desired everywhere he's gone. When he goes anywhere, he's in Magic, he's in Orlando, Patrick Ewan, can't learn a thing from him. He goes to LA, can't learn a thing from Kareem. He goes to Houston, can't learn a thing from Hakeem Olajuwon, can't learn anything from Kevin McHale. Ridiculous. He's not the offensive guy that's able to dominate offensively in D'Antoni's system. All right? Correct or no?
Should be able to, but...
Have you ever seen a system where D'Antoni was able to implement All-Star 4 and 5?
Here's my thing.
Yes or no?
If D'Antoni had Dwight now, best bet, Dwight would be having a great season right now.
How do you say that?
And
how?
Dwight knew that because that's why he left.
If Dwight wanted to play for D'Antoni, he would have stayed. He didn't. You telling me
first
that?
First of all...
He said to the owners, yo, if you hire D'Antoni, I'm out. And they hired him.
And he's out.
Fair enough. Listen, I think he would have had a hell of a season than he has right now.
The Laker team that D'Antoni coached, on paper, was that a good team? Did you think that team should have been competing for a title?
I thought they should have been in the playoffs.
Did you think that team should have been competing for a title?
Possibility. I don't know.
Okay. Under Phil Jackson, I'm gonna bring Akeem into this question too. Under Phil Jackson, under that same roster, do you think they would have been a championship team?
Yeah.
Jay?
No.
How?
I think it would have been a playoff team.
Steve Nash, Kobe, Powell, and
Dwight. I don't even have to bring in Steve Nash. I'm just talking Kobe, Powell, and Dwight in a triangle
offense.
It'd
be a good playoff team
in a triangle offense with Phil running it. Kobe averaging this is before the knee injury, the kneecap break. This is before the Achilles tendon injury. This is before all those major injuries that slowed Kobe and forced him to retire last year. This is when he was averaging 27.6-6, one of the best seasons he's had. Playing defense, hard, trying to will his team into the playoffs. You're telling me that in the correct system, that wouldn't have been a championship team? They gave D'Antoni the keys to a team that should have been at least a competing for a championship. He didn't do anything with it. And he did the same thing in New York. So let's not act like he is the greatest coach ever. He's an offensive guru, but he needs to... He needs the correct roster.
No one said he was.
I know, but you were trying to argue that I was saying this. So I'm telling you.
No, I'm arguing. You're saying, you know.
That he's offensive gyro, but he needs the right roster. And that's what I'm saying. I always thought he needs the right roster. I'm telling you right now that he has the right roster. And in having the right roster, James Harden's stats are in the hype machine. They're in the hype machine, bro.
He's the MVP of this league. Because he's the MVP of this league. Flat done.
From what? Why? Why is it MVP? Because his team has a better record? Who has a better team? You need to think about it. It's a debate because it never was a debate before, but because now you're on an opposing opposition on size,
He has a better team, but y'all act like these his other players are like superstars or stars. To me, he's in the same boat as a Russell Westbrook. Yes.
No,
his
I don't.
Team
think,
has special qualities.
I don't think he is because when he could have a horrible shooting night and score 13 points, and Lou Williams could come off the bench and drop 28, I don't think they're in the same predicament.
Okay, but that's a trade mid season.
Oh, so Eric Gordon wasn't there. Eric Gordon and Lou Williams before the trade were the two headliners for the Sixth Man of the Year award. There was between the two of them. Then they get both of them on the same team. But let's not act like EG wasn't out there dropping points. You got to be doing something if you're going to be the Sixth Man. Correct or no?
Correct. 16 points a game. Okay.
Okay, but so let's not... Is there somebody on the Thunder that's dropping those points off the bench?
No.
It's bust if Russell Westbrook... And it's proven that with the triple-doubles. If he does not average... In games that he doesn't have a triple-double, they have a losing record, and it's not close. I've seen James Harden have bad games, and the Rockets pull out wins. They have a squad. They have shooters on the floor, and they have a squad. I'm not saying that they have other superstars on the squad, but they have players that can put the ball in the basket, that can take the ball off the dribble and create for others. Thunder don't have that, man. It's Russell Westbrook or nothing.
Fair enough, but take away James Harden. You know, he's second in the league in points, too, with 29.2 points. You take away him leading assists. You know, I don't take James Harden off that team. That team's making the playoffs. Did we even expect the Houston Rockets to be the third seed?
Hold on. I have a question. Did you expect the Thunder to make the playoffs?
Yes.
You did?
Yes. I said 6-7-8. That was my prediction. Bottom team. I didn't have them out.
I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. And I can't even believe that Russell Westbrook's been keeping this up for a whole season. I didn't think
exactly.
He could do it. But listen, we're not here. I'm here to try and dissect your argument, but you know, to each his own. You have James Harden, we have Russell Westbrook. I wouldn't be mad for a co-MVP.
I wouldn't be mad for that either.
I'm not going to be mad if James Harden wins it, but I do believe Russell Westbrook deserves it. And that's who I picked. But if James Harden wins it, I'm not going to have an uproar and go on a Twitter rampage.
No, I agree.
But I gotta go with Russell, man. I got to go with Russell. And I got to say that the roster that the Rockets have, that's a D'Antoni roster. And Steve Nash does not win two MVPs without D'Antoni as his coach. And I honestly believe that I will go on the record, as I'm doing right now, and saying that. One would have went to... Kobe should have won.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Kobe should have won that year. You're dropping 35
points. And Harden should have been MVP, and we wouldn't have the discussion.
I mean, we all agree Harden should have won MVP the first year Steph Curry won it. We all agree with that. But hey, it is what it is. We could go. How many years can we go back?
We said it. The players said it. Everybody said it.
How
except
many years,
for the voters.
How many years can we go back and say the wrong MVP won this year? We could go. 2002, 2003, Tim Duncan won that year. That should have been Jason Kidd.
Yep.
We could go back. Shaq knows he should have won one of those years with Steve Nash. We could go back the year that. After the two MVP, I think LeBron won that year. Who won that year after Steve Nash two MVPs? You don't remember?
No, I don't remember.
Sound like a fact check. But anyway, that year Steve Nash should have won because that year he had better points and assists per game and points per game than he had the two previous years of his MVP. So we could always go back and look at it. Listen, the voters vote however they want to vote. It's ridiculous. All right, but let's keep it moving, man. We were on that topic for a long time, but it was important, man. It's MVP.
All right, guys, you know, recent current news. The Cavs fall to the 2 spot on the Eastern Conference side. Brandon?
What's that, big deal, little deal? Oh, Dirk won that year?
Yeah.
Nah, Dirk was supposed to win that year.
Yeah.
Dirk was supposed to win that year. Quick fact check. Thank you, Keith. That was at 06-07? Yeah, Dirk was supposed to win that year. He was supposed to win a title too, man. Yeah. They gave D-Wade too many free throws in game 3. It's ridiculous.
Agreed.
Cavs fall into the 2 spot, Jay. Listen. We just finished watching the Pacers game, and great overtime game. The Cavs are able to pull it out.
Oh, yeah, 135-130. Yeah.
Paul George shooting lights out. Kevin Love shooting lights out. LeBron shooting lights out. But 135-130 still looks to me like they have an issue on defense. And them falling to the second spot, I'm not saying they can't get to the finals in the second spot. I don't think they need home court advantage. But as I've been saying last week and the week before, there's no such thing as turning it on. All right, we thought the Lakers could turn it on when they had that team that they lost to the Dallas Mavericks that year when Dallas had the Cinderella one run. That was the last of that window with Lamar Odom, Pau Gasol, Kobe, Ron Artest. They just won the title before then against the Celtics. And everyone's like, what's going on with the Lakers? What's going on? Oh, don't worry. They're going to turn it on. They're going to turn it, flip the switch. Everything's going to be okay. There's no switch. You can't flip it, all right? You're not all of a sudden going to start playing lights out defense when the playoffs hit. It doesn't work that way. And I think they have a lot of issues. I am not saying they're going to lose yet, but I'm keeping watch over them very closely. And the only reason I'm not predicting a loss yet in the playoffs is because of LeBron James. But listen, there comes a time where LeBron is not going to make the finals for umpteenth time in a row. And let's not act like this year isn't on the radar for when it might happen. It's a possibility. It's not even a possibility.
It's always a possibility.
It's always
a possibility. The finals is never guaranteed. Like I said earlier in the podcast, that's why they play the game.
It's more of a possibility this year than it has been in years past. That's facts.
Is it?
It is in my notes.
So that's an opinion.
It's facts.
It's an opinion.
Opinion.
Continue. But I'm not.
It's facts, guys. Okay.
I'm still not worried about them because, like I said before, I don't see anyone beating them in a 7-game series. I just don't see it happening. I don't think LeBron's letting it happen. Like, I don't see any team in the East, I should say, that's that good to go at the Cavaliers and say, okay, we're going to beat you 4 games. I don't see it happening. Regardless if they're the number 1 seed, the number 2 seed, I just don't see it happening.
Washington Wizards maybe, but I'm going to put it on Toronto. The Raptors.
I don't see any of them.
I will agree with my man Akeem here. And one thing about the Lakers, and like you said, Dallas was on a Cinderella, so they weren't really missing anything. And they did beat that great Miami team.
The Lakers got swept that series. 4-0, they got swept. That was a team that just won a championship the year before.
I understand that. But let's be honest.
Fact, Andrew Bynum was on our team too.
But true, let's be honest. It was close games and it was shots.
They got swept, bro.
I understand that.
Close games or not, this is a team that went to the finals three years. Their window closed. Listen, there comes a time where the team doesn't make
it. Well, I'm sorry. Cavs window is not closed one bit. They still have an opportunity to get the first seed. They don't need the first seed.
Their window is closed, but these guys don't look as hungry as they did last year.
That's all it is.
But you can't flip. There's no switch to flip hunger on.
But it's not just the hunger. It's injuries too.
It's one
JR
guy,
has to work himself back in. Okay, Kevin Love has to work himself back in.
It's one guy.
Kyrie.
It is one guy that wants rings. Another one like, well, I got one already. I'm probably okay.
I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I don't think Kevin Love makes that trip from Minnesota to Cleveland to say, oh yeah, I just want one ring. Thank you. I'm a champion.
I'm sure if you gave him two, he'll take it. But their ring total is not going to affect their history in the game like it will affect LeBron's.
Here's my thing. The 2 seed doesn't really matter in the East because at the end of the day, they're still going to have to play a game 7 when they play in the finals.
All right. Let me put you on the spot. Jay, Cavs make it to the finals?
Yes.
No? Akeem?
Yes.
No.
Who's beating them?
I'm going out on a limb. Toronto Raptors, bro.
Okay, no.
I'm going out on a limb. I'm tired. Everybody's trying to walk on eggshells from ESPN to Fox Sports to whoever else is commenting on this topic here about the Cavs. Everybody's gingerly saying it's a possibility, it's a possibility. I'm going to go out and just say it. I said there's a possibility before. I'm going to just go out and say it. They lose this year. LeBron is not making it for, a 7th time in a row? He's just not. I don't care, man.
I'm sorry. I have to say, who is Toronto?
Anyway, we have here perennial NBA clown.
He's a clown.
Not JaVale McGee or Kendrick Perkins, but Lance Stephenson signs with the Pacers. The air blower. He's an air whisperer. The LeBron whisperer. Signs with the Pacers for 2 years.
Three. 312 mil.
Who the hell cares? Why is this topic even here? Listen.
Because you put it in there.
I did.
I don't know why.
I mentioned it because, I mean, Lance has, he had some game when he was there on his first stint. I'm not sure why
Lance make you dance. Hey.
I'm not sure why Larry Bird didn't try to re-sign him because I think they were missing him in the years that he wasn't there under Frank Vogel. This year's a different story. I think if Frank Vogel was coaching the team, Pacers would have a better record. Sorry, Nate McMillan, but Frank Vogel had that team cooking. But they were missing him when he left. he went to the other stints, didn't look good, played well on Pacers, and I guess they re-signed him, but that just goes to me, like, Bird, what are you doing, man? You know you're one of the GMs I have issues with. I'm not even getting into that right now, but I guess hopefully he shows something, because he didn't show anything tonight.
I think it's a good pickup in terms of Lance, kind of maybe rejuvenating his career. I thought he played really well on the Pacers. They took a look simply because he was putting up impressive numbers while he was doing on a 10-day contract with the Grizzlies, putting up 14.6.
Yeah, but I mean,
5 assists. I understand. It's
so difficult to trust this guy, man.
I trusted him in that organization.
Well, you can trust him in an organization, but you got to remember, you trust him under Frank Vogel.
I think he's a relief in terms of another ball handler, takes pressure off of Teague. Teague's had a good season.
Monty Ellis is there too, though. And a lot of ball handlers.
Okay, Monty Ellis is washed up. He needs to retire. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
He definitely takes a good bit of pressure off of Paul George.
You hope. These are all hopes.
Oh, right, but I think from what I've seen him done in the past, from before, you can do that on the Pacers team. Okay?
Go ahead.
When was the last time we did that, man? It's been
3 years.
I hope that he's able to bring back to come back as old Lance. I do, because I think the way he was playing in his first stint with the Pacers was, he was starting, but coming off the bench, he would have been in the running for a six-man award. I think that he has potential to be a great player. It's just mental. And when you're dealing with mental, the coach usually tries to affect your mental. And the same coach isn't there, so I don't know who he's going to be this year. But is there a possibility that he can help the team? Of course. He has the skill set.
I agree. I mean, I honestly think it's all mental with Lance. He has the tools. They've been looking at him for how long now?
Since
he was in high school.
That you look at how many teams have picked him up after, and you saw the stint with the Hornets, and that was horrible. And teams still looked at him after that, so they know that he has something.
I think it's just mental, man. He doesn't have the right mentality. Like, he doesn't have that hungry mentality. I feel like he's just happy to be in the NBA.
I think it has a lot to do with immaturity, too.
And I'm mad at the owners, because I heard the coach didn't really like him like that. So I try not to base it off of that, man. He sat a lot for the Hornets, man.
He didn't play well with the Hornets, bro.
True, because
he started and you have
Kemba, yo.
He did not play well. He did not earn that contract.
Agreed.
And Lance seems like the type of player to me that, like, if he's not feeling his situation, he's not going to play hard.
He tunes out.
Yeah, he's just like, all right, I'm done with this.
So, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, they know the skill set's there, because you don't normally see this many NBA teams give a player this many chances.
Yeah.
So they know the skill set's there, but, you know, somebody got to touch that mental. Somebody got to touch him like Phil touched Dennis Rodman, man.
Yeah.
Or agree. Chuck Daly. Chuck Daly touched Dennis Rodman too, man. Rest in peace, Chuck.
Pause.
Man.
Yeah, shout out. Can we pause over this? Because there's a lot of touching of Dennis Rodman.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. He paused. Right. Pause game on strong.
All right. But yeah, so we're going to, it's kind of a revisit on this next topic. We're going to talk about James Harden, MVP candidate. But now he's a little injured. His wrist got a bad wrist injury. I believe it's a shooting wrist too. Left hand?
Justin and I were debating. I think it is his left hand.
Oh, my gosh. We'll do a fact check on that later. But I think that's really unfortunate for the Rockets, because I feel like they live and die with James Harden. They going to do
In terms of their championship run.
Yeah, agreed. In terms of the championship run. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to do a little something, maybe in the first round, maybe get to the second round, but I don't see them going any further than that if James Harden is going to be hindered by this wrist injury.
I agree with you, Akeem. And my thing, it becomes a situation where, is it about the individual award or is it about the team award? Now, obviously, we discussed Harden being in the MVP race with Russell Westbrook. And so he doesn't want to stop playing. He wants to keep his MVP chances up. And I have no issue with that. But is you not being able to take rest? And this is not even rest. This is not rest because people think you're tired, like the trio in Cleveland. This is a rest because you need to heal for the playoffs. You need your wrist to be on point. And he doesn't want to take the days off, because any days off means that you might lower your chances for the MVP race, because we know Mr. Rage doesn't take days off.
No days
off. At all. So I can't tell him what to do. He knows his wrist. He knows what he wants more than others. Something's going to outweigh the other, and he'll decide what he wants to do. But I think it's going to be an issue for him if it's not 100% in playoffs. Because Golden State, as we'll talk later, they look like they got it on all cylinders. And they didn't even bring the second best player in the league back yet.
James Harden, all I have to tell you is stop being selfish right now, man. Real talk. I think you should take the remainder of the season off.
Wow. Okay. Real quick. If he does take the remainder of the season off, does that affect his MVP?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right. You being honest, bro. I'll give you that. You're being honest, bro.
Yes, it does.
So if he takes, that's your MVP still.
If he plays, yes. But if he takes the rest, you give it to Russell?
Yes.
All so right. If he plays and does terrible for these last few games that they have, he's still the MVP?
Depends on if the team wins.
Correct. But at the end of the day, they're in the third seed. They're not losing the third seed.
Is it an individual award or a team award?
MVP?
MVP to me is an individual award. The championship that you're looking for is a team award.
So if he's playing like trash, how is he still your MVP?
No, I'm simply... Well,
you said if they
He does base a lot of the MVP talk on records. He does do that.
Which is crazy to me, but okay.
I disagree with it because I don't agree with having to base it totally on the record. Like if you have a winning record and your team's in the sixth spot, I think you or seventh spot, you can still get it.
And for me, it's 1-5.
Right, but that's normally how the voters vote. I don't agree with the voters.
Though. No, they vote for top three or four. I'm saying five.
But I don't agree with that either. I think if you're, I can't go eight depending on the year you have. Like Kobe had his team in the eighth spot that year. His team was trash, man.
Okay.
35 points a game.
That was a doo-doo team.
Thank you. Smush Parker.
That is worse than what Russell.
Smush Parker. Chris Mim.
That is worse.
Kwame Brown. That team was supposed to make the playoffs. So that year, so you're looking at it, it's like, huh. But like this, they go on winning records, and you know, it is what it is, man.
So, and we don't necessarily know in terms of how the OKC is going to finish off the season as well.
They look like they're finishing off strong.
They lost today.
Like Mr. C.
They lost today.
I mean, okay.
But
they look good over the last eight games.
Simply, man, don't be selfish, man. Take this time. I know it affects the MVP, but when you drinking that champagne, lifting that trophy, you're not going to worry about no MVP. And at the end of the day,
I'm not going to lie, you're not lifting no trophy. You shocked me on this one, bro.
You have opportunities. You have enough opportunities. This is your second opportunity for you being an MVP candidate. You have more chances, man. Real talk.
All right, I disagree with you on that because I said the same thing about Chris Paul and Kobe did win his MVP, and that's it, man.
But like you said, D'Antoni's a stat buffer, so.
True. All right, true. So his stats going to still be in buff.
And yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right, we're still on basketball. Now we're going to do is T-Mac.
Tracy McGrady.
Correct. A Hall of Famer, guys.
You know, don't even answer.
Let me add to this. Okay, Tracy McGrady this year found out, you know, he's getting consideration for the 2017, well, class of 2017, Hall of Fame inductees. Mm-hmm. Is he a Hall of Fame inductee?
I mean, he is. Do you think he should have been?
Well, correct. Am I going last?
Now you can go. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I thought you don't want me to go first.
I'll go.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, he is.
He's all okay. He is. Is he a first ballot Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Wow.
He is.
And your reasoning behind that?
I say this because Tracy McGrady was hot out here for a good period of time. Towards the end of his career, yeah, he became a ring chaser. He was jumping on a bunch of teams. But when Tracy McGrady, like, got unleashed from the Raptors, he went off. He was a trailblazer. He's a trendsetter.
Trendsetter for what?
For dropping buckets.
Because Kobe wasn't dropping buckets.
Yeah, but Kobe...
Because Jordan wasn't dropping buckets before
but,
that.
But nobody expected it from Tracy McGrady, and that made him so hot that everywhere you went, Tracy McGrady was in somebody's mouth. Pause. His name was in somebody's mouth. Everywhere you went. It was Iverson McGrady. People weren't mentioning Kobe like that. People were saying Iverson McGrady as favorite players. No Vince Carter. No Kobe. No Tim Duncan.
No Kobe.
People were saying it, but I'm saying, like, if you had the first two names that came out the mouth,
I'm not even gonna let you finish.
But I'm gonna finish.
Popularity doesn't win you.
But I'm saying that's why he got into the Hall of Fame because he don't got no rings. He don't got no rings. He don't got no MVPs.
He don't have first round playoff wins. He talking about rings. He didn't even got the first round.
He never had wins.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what got him into the Hall of Fame. His popularity, but
you're also agreeing that his popularity is deserved. He's deserving of a Hall of Fame bid, first ballot Hall of Fame bid, because of his popularity. That sounds like your argument.
That's what I said.
That's your argument?
Yes.
That's horrible.
You asked me why I feel like he's the first ballot MVP. That's horrible.
It's opinionated.
That's horrible.
How is that? See, this is what I don't like about Brandon. You always want to say something is horrible. You can't tell me my opinion is horrible, bro.
I can.
No, you can't.
It's my opinion.
It's your opinion that my opinion is horrible. Yes, that don't make you right. That don't make you right.
I didn't say it was right, though. I'm giving my opinion. That's a horrible reason.
So don't say it's horrible. Like, it's like you're right and like you're God Almighty and that you're what you say is the end of everything.
I'm sorry. I got to hear Brandon's.
I'm not saying it's the end of everything. I'm just saying that's not a reason to get in the Hall of Fame, your popularity. That can't be a reason.
I'm saying that's how he got into the Hall of Fame. That's all I'm saying.
But that's not the question. The question is, do you think he was a Hall of Famer?
And I told you why.
Because of that same thing.
His popularity.
So what are you confused about?
I'm not confused about anything. I'm telling you that's a horrible... That's not a reason to get in the Hall of Fame. And you're telling me that's how he got
based
in the Hall
of Fame. Based on you.
What Hall of Fame...
What makes a Hall of Famer?
Your stats.
Is it only your stats? Because I'm sure there's plenty of people in the Hall of Fame that's not in there based on stats.
I kind of agree with that, too, as well.
And why are people in the Hall of Fame, Justin? You're in the Hall of Fame because of your popularity? Are you serious?
Yao Ming
touchdown is global. He's global. The amount of stuff he done for basketball in China, he's global.
You just said stats get you in the player in the Hall of Fame. Did he put up the amount of stat? Did he put up more points than Tracy McGrady?
Does Yao Ming have Hall of Fame stats?
No. Thank you.
But he's in there for a different reason, not popularity. He was a great player, all right? That added on to the ambassador that he's been for the game is why he was able to get into the Hall of Fame. Tracy McGrady's not an ambassador. He's not even a great sports analyst, all right, on ESPN. All right?
Don't bring up the sports analyst because that has nothing to do with it.
What are you talking about? Popularity? He's gaining popularity from that, too.
Why he got that job? Why does he have that job?
So what's the reason?
I don't know.
Because he was popular.
I don't know why he has that job.
What's the reason for Tracy not being a Hall of Famer?
Listen, I never said he's not a Hall of Famer. It was a maybe for me. I'm not saying he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's definitely not a first ballot Hall of Famer, all right? Averaging 19.6 points a game, 5.6 rebounds, 4.4 assists is not Hall of Fame stats to me, all right? He hasn't even hit the 20K mark in terms of total career points. I know injuries was an issue in his career, and that was a big problem for him, especially the back spasms, but... If he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, then I think that opens the door for a lot of people for being first Hall of Famers that you would have never thought were first ballot Hall of Famers. I think looking forward, people like Dwayne Wade, people like Carmelo Anthony, and the list goes on. If you put T-Mac as a first ballot Hall of Famer, you're saying that his career is on par with Kobe Bryant's career, with Shaquille O'Neal's career, and first ballot Hall of Famers like that. Do you agree that T-Mac... career, popularity or not, since we're throwing that in there, since apparently that's in the discussion. Popularity, stats-wise, what he's done in his NBA game, awards that he's won, all that included, his whole resume. Do you agree that being a first ballot Hall of Famer puts his career on par with other first ballot Hall of Famers?
First of all, we're not going to compare Tracy McGrady to Shaquille O'Neal because they legit changed the rules for that man to get into the Hall of Fame.
That's just strengthening my point because you put him in. Shaquille O'Neal was a first ballot Hall of Famer. T-Mac now is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Yo, I'm not saying
everybody is not in the Hall of Fame because of the stats that they put up on the court, bro.
And I'm definitely saying I agree with you that T-Mac isn't the first ballot Hall of Famer, and he does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But let's be honest, man. That whole ambassador thing, Yao Ming being an ambassador for basketball, he didn't deserve to be in the first
round. That was a horrible argument. Since we're going to call out horrible opinions and stuff, that was horrible.
Real talk. I mean, real talk.
I'm confused how it's a horrible argument because your argument is that T-Mac's popularity. If that's a horrible argument and I'm saying he's an ambassador of the game and you told me that he's an ambassador of the game because of his popularity,
you know why it's a horrible argument? Because your definition of a Hall of Famer was based on stats. And then we brought up Yao Ming.
Right.
You didn't bring up Yao Ming. We did.
We talked about Yao Ming before we started recording the podcast. I talked about this with Justin, and I said, that was the reason I said, stats is the main reason why I think you should be in the Hall of Fame. If you bring something else to the game, like being an ambassador, that's fine. The Naismith Hall of Fame is not all about stats in terms of, it's been about careers in terms of coaching. We've seen different people go in. It's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's just Naismith. I understand that. But saying that my argument's horrible because of being an ambassador, when the ambassador apparently is based on popularity, and you're saying that T-Mac's popularity is why he's in there, doesn't make sense to me. It's the same thing.
All right then. It's the same thing. So if Yao Ming got in based on him, T-Mac's an ambassador too.
Ambassador where?
I'm just simply saying,
we're talking about a guy that's from a country that has over 2 billion people that he's an ambassador to basketball with. You're talking about T-Mac. Where is he an ambassador where? You're comparing his popularity to Yao Ming's popularity? They're not even on the same planet, bro. In terms of that.
Why? Exactly. Because he's from China. If Yao Ming,
if Yao Ming grew up here,
he wouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. We don't
live in the land of what if he grew up here, if he grew up there. He's from where he's from.
Is Yao Ming a first ballot Hall of Famer based on what you said?
If the NBA was in China, would Yao Ming be a Hall of Famer?
If the NBA was in China, I don't
know. If we took all these teams and put them in China, would he still be a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
Because of popularity, because he's Chinese, right?
No, he wouldn't be a Hall of Famer because it's in China. The only reason Yao Ming was friggin' popular was because he came over here from China. He was the only real Chinese star. That's the only reason why he was popular.
This analogy, you've changed over the whole thing. Saying that NBA is in China now would change up all the players and everything. That you can't say that from that. It just the equation would be completely different for you to draw anything from
based
that.
Based on how you put people in the Hall of Fame, is Yao Ming a Hall of Famer based on stats?
No.
Your definition of
a Hall of Famer.
No.
All right then.
Okay, but I already said he's not in the Hall of Fame solely on his stats.
And all Akeem was trying to say the same thing for Tracy McGrady. He felt like his popularity got him.
You don't got a baby to me. I understand that. It's my opinion to disagree with him.
No, I'm not disagreeing with
that. And if you want to talk popularity, T-Mac's popularity compared to Yao Ming's popularity, it shouldn't even be in the same discussion. We shouldn't even be talking about that. All right? You think T-Mac's supposed to be a Hall of Famer?
No, I don't think he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he should be in the Hall of Fame.
That's all I'm saying. I'm allowed to disagree with what you're saying.
You are?
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. Anyway, Golden State, 10-game winning streak. All they just seem to be in the NBA. 10-game winning streak without the second best player in the league and without their basically the best player on the team. Not basically, he is. Kevin Durant.
No.
Who's the team to beat?
The champions. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Justin? Until they're dethroned, they're the team to beat. Plain and simple.
On a technical standpoint, yes, but I think they're going to say Warriors are the team to beat. I'm impressed with this 10-game winning streak. Well, not crazy impressed, but I'm impressed with the three games they had this week.
This week, they're four
games. That's all it is to me. They played well against San Antonio, Rockets. The other teams, I really don't care. Struggling Memphis. So,
two Rockets games, but I mean, if you want to talk about Memphis struggling, let's talk about you want to throw in James Harden's wrist for those two games.
That too. So, they are the team to beat in the Western Conference. I definitely have to say that.
If they're going to look this good and start playing defense the way they're playing defense right now and then try to implement Kevin Durant before the playoffs, I think that they're a juggernaut again. I was worried about them before, but it looked like Steve Kerr and the coaching staff has gotten something together. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson seem to be coming out of their shooting slump. And I don't know, man. They look like a force to be reckoned with. And even though Akeem is technically right, the champions are the team to beat until they're dethroned. If Golden State and Cleveland were to meet right now, 4-1, Golden State. Cleveland does not look good.
Fair enough.
I think so. But, I mean, listen, like Akeem said earlier, it's why we play the game. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to be honest. I think this year's championship is more up in the air than it has been in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, agreed. You don't know who's going to come out the East, really.
You guys think Cleveland's coming out the East, but I like to think that there is going to be some competition in the East because the Cavs are just not playing. They're not playing deep. Since the All-Star game, they're 29th in defense. They don't play deep. The Pacers dropped 130 and two overtimes tonight, man. In Cleveland, they just don't play defense, and
championships, defense wins championships, and it's important. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. But, listen.
Okay.
Listen. We had a great, another great show. Got a little heated during this Hall of Fame talk.
Went a little long.
Came talking to me kind of disrespectfully, but I let it slide.
You was talking a little disrespectful too.
Listen, all right? I'm going to create my own Hall of Fame for the NBA players, and stats get you in. The end of story, all right?
Okay.
Not no Naismith. NBA Hall of Fame, that's it. Because MLB and NFL, they're strict with their Hall of Fame. Facts or not?
Facts.
Okay. I think the NBA needs someone like that too. Anyway, and if it was strict like that, sorry, T-Mac. But congratulations. Listen, great show. We're on iTunes. My Android users, I am so sorry. I know you guys are complaining. We're going to try and get you on Google Play. You guys can hear us too. But just like our link on Facebook, IG, subscribe on iTunes if you can. And on Facebook, you'll be able to listen to us if you're not able to reach iTunes. All right? Thank you again. Great show. Tune in.
It's our anniversary. 10 episodes.
Thank you, Justin.
That's not really an anniversary.
I know. It's like 100. But
yeah,
okay.
All that they said.
Yeah.
See y'all next week, man.